Good evening. Welcome to the Solarium Report. Today is September 10, 2015. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, I'm flying to Italy tomorrow, then I'll be up in Switzerland the following week, and then to Amsterdam through October 23rd. There's a lot going on in Europe. I want to see it in person. When I get to Amsterdam, we're going to have lunch with Catherine on October 17th. So if you're in Amsterdam, you're invited. Some of our allies and networks are going to invite people too. So it's going to be a little bit more open than just to subscribers. So if you've got friends or others that you want to connect in, definitely point them to the place on our website where they can buy tickets. Then I'm going on to Scotland through October 30th and then to Austin for the Secret Space Program Conference on October 31st. That's over the weekend, October 31st and November 1st outside of Austin, Texas. The biggest event this fall, though, is going to be the launch of our new website before the end of the month of September. We've been working on it for two plus years, as you know. We'll be telling you a lot more about it as we get closer. We're going to need you to update your password. And we've tried many ways of doing this without requiring you to do any work, but it turns out we are going to have to ask you to update your password. I'm confident you'll think it's worth it. We've tried to respond to all your good intelligence and feedback about what will make the subscription software easier for you and how we can make it easier for you to explore and find content and make the whole Solarium Report subscriber experience more energizing for you. So we think you're really going to enjoy the improvements, and we're very excited about it. Our theme tonight is Here We Go. It's kind of the feeling you get when you're at the top of the roller coaster and you've been inching up and you know what's coming and you're about to take the dive. And I think that's a little bit what this fall is going to feel like. There's no doubt change is accelerating. Last week's Solarium Report, What's Up This Fall 2015, is very good preparation for navigating not just the next few months, but the next year or two. There's an awful lot of change coming together, and it's really going to make this, I think, among other things, a very energetic, very energetically intense period. Money and markets, some big developments. The Feds are wavering, and that's part of how bad the employment picture is. We started today the blackout period coming into the Feds' September 16th to 17th meeting. When I say blackout, they impose a blackout on discussing what they're going to do or what they're thinking about. I really had expected them to bump it only a tiny amount on the September 16th, 17th meeting, but they could raise it in October or December. They have two more chances this year. If they don't raise it even just a little bit, that's a real signal that the situation is a lot more fragile than they were expecting or that officials are saying. Lots of shrieking and yelling about the Iran deal. It's inconceivable to me that we won't pass it. That's a multi-country deal. There's no way you get a better deal by rejecting it. What you're going to get is you're going to get a real mess if you reject it. I think the president has lined up the votes. That doesn't stop Trump and people like that from shrieking. But Kerry's trying to line up the global reality, and Obama's trying to line up the global reality with our depleted treasury, and it has to be done. It's just a budget reality, and the diplomats are trying to get back things into some kind of alignment. We're watching a very interesting dynamic that I've talked about before happening with China. As China comes into hard times, what everybody in America is being reminded is that we are Siamese twins. We're connected at the hip, and when they have hard times, we have hard times. Iowa is the location of the early caucuses, and Iowa farmers are getting hurt because the Chinese demand for soybeans is slowing down. So it's a reminder of that wonderful point of Steve Roche's great book, Unbalanced. If you haven't read it, I strongly recommend it. It's on our annual wrap-up lists of best books for 2015. We really are deeply connected in terms of our economies. And so when we whack each other, we whack ourselves. Refugees, there's a lot going on in Europe in terms of refugees, and I have a lot of questions. 800,000 refugees in 1 year to Germany, that's a lot of travel expenses. How these folks are getting all this way, it's hard to imagine how it's happening. And you sort of want to ask the question, okay, who's financing all these boat rides and who's financing this. Anyway, lots to conjecture about, but I'm very suspicious of what's really going on. But I'm, again, as I said last week, I'm going to wait till I get to Europe to dig in and find out what's more. I wrote a commentary that I strongly recommend to you this week. It's called Heads Up, It's a Trap, It's Public. We're watching a very disturbing confluence of forces. I know I talked about it in the roundup and in the report last week, but I really want to emphasize this. We have the Pope addressing a joint session of Congress on September 24th, then going up and addressing the U.S. UN General Assembly, followed by a mass on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway in Philadelphia. That's all very interesting, and I've talked about it on several occasions. However, now we have the new post-2015 development agenda by the UN published, and it's a doozy. It's an extraordinary exercise, I think, in top-down control. And here's my concern. After the Pope does all those two speeches and mass on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, we have all the world leaders gathering, the Chinese president, the Russian president, the American president, the French president, the Iranian president, and others, at the UN on the 28th. And of course, they'll be talking about that development agenda. Now, why is this all a concern? Because the federal budget, all reports continue to be that the federal budget will not be finalized for the October 1 year, which means the federal budget and the debt limit are both open. And my concern is, if you have all these world leaders gathering, promoting this agenda, who knows what will pop out of their mouths and into, you know, the mass media promoting with entrainment propaganda that could then land nicely pre-engineered into the federal budget, since it had been held open. And because it's the last minute, you have lots of hungry domestic and global constituents who want passage because they don't want their checks to be interrupted. So to me, I'm concerned that we're looking at a sneak attack. We'll just have to see what happens. But I want to give you a heads up that we need to watch and see what happens. In the bottom of the commentary, I put links to the new UN agenda, and you'll see it's quite aggressive. We also, last week for the Salieri Report, published a commentary for subscribers called Shadow Work, Your Stolen Time. If you haven't read it, I strongly recommend that you do. Because we are now entering a period of what I call free-range FEMA camps. Don't worry about being rounded up into a FEMA camp. Worry about the relational database and surveillance systems, making sure that you're plenty busy and you get buried in what I call shadow work. That's work that other people puts to you. Financial fraud, as in credit card fraud, mortgage fraud, all sorts of different financial fraud is causing an explosion of shadow work around the country. Anyway, take a look, because I think with a little understanding of the issues and how the whole thing works, you will be able to do a much better job of protecting your time to serve you and the people you love. Markets, we're certainly in that correction zone now for the year. The S&P is down almost 6%. GLD, the gold ETF, down 6.5%. Silver, and again, I'm working off the Wednesday close, silver down 7.5%. Oil off 34% for the year. The DAX still up at 5.5%. The China large caps down 13.5%. The developed minus North America is down 3%. So they're doing developed minus the U.S. is doing better, minus North America is doing better than S&P. The emerging markets down 16%. The bond aggregate ETF is still down 1% this year, and the long treasury ETF down 3.5%. So we're watching both equities and bonds trade off, and that's a very interesting sign. Commodities still way down in the basement. The U.S. dollar index now back at 95.94. Again, I say this is a correction, not a bear, but just to give you the numbers that I'm tracking, I'm looking for a bottom about 10 to 15% down from the high of the year. If it hits 20% from the high, then I'm going to reconsider. And at 25%, I'm out. Or at least that's my line in the sand. But I would be amazed to see it below 10 to to 15% below the high, and certainly if it makes it through there, I'd be amazed to see it below 20%. But as everyone can say, anything can happen. No hero this week. We've decided we're just going to start announcing our heroes spontaneously when we are inspired, instead of waiting for the Thursday night and tying it to our report. Ask Catherine. Lots of questions today. Somebody sent me the article about the Pennsylvania judge sentenced to 28 years in prison for selling teens to prison. Yes, the subscriber said, a darn good start. I agree, a darn good start. What we need to do is figure out a way to do the same for all the people who engineered systemically the incentives to do that system-wide. Someone reports, sent a picture. This is a water pipe on 8th Avenue and 51st Street in New York City. The pipe is from the 1920s. According to the workers, they say the pipes downtown are most likely 1800s and leak often and are in great need of replacement. Sort of an open secret in New York City about water pipes. What happens to the multi-million-dollar apartment fabulous view when water can't get to the 37th floor? View still stands. Now price? Very good point. Believe it or not, I used to be the lead person from Dillon Reed and Company in representation on the New York City water and sewer system. So at one point, having read through the due diligence, there is an extraordinary amount I can tell you about the pipes in New York City, but you're absolutely right. There's still plenty of pipes downtown from the 1800s. And if you look at their replacement cycle at the Water and Sewer Authority, when I stopped being an underwriter, it was going to take quite some time. So, but this is a secret all over the world. We've been running down the infrastructure in many, many places. And that's why for the second quarter, I said it is so important to beat the drums on infrastructure, because there is so much opportunity we have not only to bring it up to grade, but given new technology to do new things. And it's time to really get into that business. We have plenty of capacity breaking free as a result of automation and globalization. We ought to use that capacity to really bring our infrastructure up to to excellence in terms of civilization. I think that would also help inspire some of the culture coming back up to excellence. Dear Catherine, was wondering how you feel about this, given the resulting crash, recession, depression we hear so much about as a result of 0% interest rates for seven-ish years, et cetera, and the subversion of the Democratic Party into the far-left organization. I think it makes sense that the recession, depression would occur pre-election, with the result being the presidency of Bernie Sanders, self-declared socialist. This will essentially build on the foundation laid by Obama and Obamacare. And I think being operative term, hence my email, that this is the only political outcome that makes sense given the economic climate. Overt socialism would be easier to proliferate in times of economic hardship, as the general public would be less accepting of socialized health care, welfare, et cetera, if the winning economic strategy of peace and prosperity are present. I still think Sanders is unlikely as of today. If I had to guess, I'd say Biden and Bush are the likely nominees. They're going to be there's a lot of turns and twists happening now. And what's interesting is you can tell the economy is turning really tough, because really what you're seeing is a group of factions fighting over the ability to control the budget and therefore be the ones to get the pork. It's not a major debate about policies. We saw Biden go up to Pittsburgh for Labor Day, which is very interesting. If you look at what Pittsburgh represents, it's first of all, it's the home of Kerry's wife, who's heiress to the Heinz fortune. And so presumably Kerry and his wife are there. You also have the Mellon money. The old Carnegie fortune came out of Pittsburgh. So you've got a lot of old serious money that has a lot to say about governance in this country. And so you wonder what he was doing up in Pittsburgh. Was he talking to the Mellons and to the Heinzes, or exactly what? But once the weekend was over, many reports rolling out saying Biden is going to run. And we see Rupert Murdoch tweeting out that Biden will get the nomination and win. So you think, what is that about? At the same time, to bring all of this to another level of seriousness, Kerry then announces, the State Department then announces, they're creating an email czar and detailing 50 people over to help with all the subpoenas and the emails, which means the administration is digging in for the long haul. And given that Biden comes out of a Labor Day weekend in Pittsburgh making noises like he's going to run, that's an ominous turn for Hillary Clinton. So clearly some twists and turns. I must tell you, I was at the gym and watching one of the later Rocky moves in which Rocky and Apollo Creed is the boxer he fights in the first one, and then Apollo Creed becomes friends, and Apollo's like the smart business guy and the sort of the more civilized, and Rocky's the tough guy. And I'm watching the back and forth between Rocky and Apollo Creed, and I realized, oh, this is Trump and Ben Carson. This is the Republican entertainment team. I kid you not. I mean, I have to tell you, I think it's being scripted from the Rocky and Apollo Creed movies. It's very funny. Dear Catherine, do you think that Hillary Clinton is being continually attacked in the media over her email scandal to make it easier for Jeb Bush to win the 2016 election? No, my guess is the primary push in all the email stuff is from the Democratic side. I think the big donors have a sense that she's not in it to win it, and they need somebody who's in it to win it. And particularly if you look at how things are turning, and they're turning pretty mean, I think they're looking to move her out and get somebody in there they're more comfortable with, and that's probably Biden. Although if it's Biden, it's because Kerry doesn't want to run. If Kerry wanted it, I think it would be his. Okay, next question. A lot of good questions tonight. My nephew is entering college this fall. I know you once did a segment on what to look for in a higher education institution, but I can't find it anywhere in your site. Please help. Take a look, do a search for just my name and then Economics 101. It was a curriculum for a high school, but it very much applies to somebody entering a higher educational institution. Based on several discussions, including your question, I decided to invite Dr. Farrell. He comes on to respond to the wrap-up. And this year, in addition to responding to the wrap-up, I asked him to prepare a list of what his recommendations for curriculum would be to any young person entering college right now. I'm going to do the same, and we're basically going to go through our lists and describe the perfect college education from his point of view and my point of view. We don't always agree, but I think between the two of us, we'll come up with a rich list that you can pick from. And I'm getting enough questions from parents and grandparents to sort of guide and help their kids that I think it's important for us to do that. So thank you for the suggestion. Next question. Do you have any idea how much money is spent here in the U.S. on social welfare programs for the poor, vs the total amount of money that is handed out to the powerful elite? Yes, and any time I've tried to do a back-of-the-envelope calculation, I can tell you that the money spent on the poor are pittance compared to what's handed out, depending on how you count that, particularly if you include the black budget. So it's really a drop in the bucket. Part of the challenge, though, is, of course, there are many more poor than there are elite, so you can spend an extraordinary amount per person on elite, and it doesn't necessarily add up too much. But if you look at the whole thing, including what happens on the credit programs, it's enormous. Hello, this is Project Censored from 1998, I believe, regarding mercenaries in third world. The first update is very interesting. Thank you very much for that. It's about mercenary armies in service to global corporations. I think this question of modern mercenaries is very, very important. And the crossing the line of a world in which force is the monopoly of a sovereign state to a world where literally all sorts of different private parties can field armies and intelligence agencies on a private basis, it puts us back into something quite medieval. So we're moving more into a high-tech medieval world. Please check out my book review on the modern mercenary if you haven't. I tried to summarize the points made in that book, and I think it's very important to realize the extent to which this is going to have dramatic implications on our world for the foreseeable future, because we have now unleashed private armies and securities firms on the world in a big way. And that's a lot of powerful people with a lot of weaponry who have reason to want to create a demand for force in this world. And let's go to the movies. Our movie is Straight Outta Compton. It's the story of the rap group NWA. It's made by Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and some of the members of the group. And it's about their early period in 1987 when they literally came out of Compton rapping. It's written by Universal Pictures. And I saw it when I was in California. So I saw it several weeks ago. Of course, if you like rap and you like sort of street poetry, there's some very good music. There's one great line I have to tell you. They're doing a press conference and they're being asked to describe whether or not, you know, they have anything to drugs. And Eazy-E, who at the time I think was the band leader, responds to the question and says, Compton has AK-47s from Russia and cocaine from Colombia, and ain't none of us got passports. Look to the source. One of the great lines. Clearly the movie is very tough on the police, and you ask how a movie like this could get made. And I think it's now sort of fashionable. The divide and conquer came between the streets and the police is on in a fierce way. So this movie is now fashionable. But that's not to take away from the accomplishments of some of the musicians like Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, who I think are extremely gifted and have written a lot of what I would describe as great street poetry. So if you're interested in that world and that phenomena, I am, because of the sort of the extraordinary linkages of what happened to me in the 90s with what happened in Los Angeles in the 80s and 90s and how that connected to all the people running for president today, the Clintons and the Bushes. Anyway, our interview this week, a wonderful young man, Alan Kalanch, who has done an extraordinary job of illuminating what's going on with student loans and trying to lobby to get many of the consumer protections returned that have been stripped off the student loan process, really turning it into an extraordinary predatory lending racket. You know, I rarely use words like scam, but Alan's book is The Student Loan Scam. And I have to tell you, I think the whole industry is completely a scam. And it's always fun to talk with him because I, once upon a time, was on the board of Sallie Mae, what was once a government-sponsored enterprise and now private that securitizes the student loans. And so I can come at it from a particular perspective. I know some of the people who are probably involved in stripping off the consumer protections, both at the Sallie Mae board level and at the Treasury and around town in Washington. And so I speak to it with a different voice than most people. And when I tell you, you know, it's absolutely a scam. So it's always a pleasure to talk with Alan because we agree, but we're coming at it from a completely different point of view. At the same time we did the interview with him, I also did a 30-minute radio show program on his blog radio, and that's also up on the website. So that's it for this evening. Next week, a wonderful interview with one of my favorite investigative reporters, very serious investigative reporter, Lucy Commissar, absolutely brilliant. She's an expert on the offshore financial system. She's been dogging those folks for years. And it's an absolutely critical part of the system. If you think it is politically incorrect to bring up the secret space program, wait till you see what it's like to, you know, ask the powers that be about what's really going on in the offshore financial system. And Lucy, who's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, is always making them uncomfortable. It's quite remarkable. Anyway, a lot of you may say, well, I don't have money that I want to put offshore. Why do I care? Understanding the offshore financial system is essential to understanding global geopolitics. And so it's important for you to know about the offshore financial system. Very important. So I'm really glad that we were able to get Lucy back in the country long enough to do that. And then September 24th, I expect to be able to announce that Rambus of Rambus Chartology is going to be with us. And I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to be talking about the U.S. dollar index, gold, and S&P. He always charts the most important, the big, deep indicators. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay, well, that's it. That's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Until September 17th next week from Italy, Please remember, don't worry about whether or not there's a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.